Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hi in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Nuclear energy in combat zones. I welcome Henry Sikorski, the executive director of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center, because from the initial reports of Chernobyl being overrun by the Russian invasion in early 2022, we've moved in conversation to talk about Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power complex in Europe, being overrun, dominated by the brutality of the Russian forces. And now we move to what is to be done with the whole of Europe and the whole of North America dealing with nuclear energy in and during a contest between NATO and the Russian Federation. For example, I learned from Henry Sikorski's posting, Ukraine's nuclear deal with Canada's Cameco carries big risks, rewards. Ukraine's 12-year deal to buy enough uranium from Canadian miner Cameco Corp to power all of its nuclear reactors gives each side the right to change sales volumes with 2 years' notice, according to the Ukrainian state-owned utility Energoatom. This according to Reuters report. This needs interpretation, so I welcome Henry Sikorski. Henry, this looks at first glance that Ukraine's made a decision to buy from Canada. I hope that's correct. It's extremely aspirational and buoyant that they will have an ability to once again restock Zaporizhia, which remains in enemy hands at great peril, as we will report. Do you find this significant that Ukraine is shifting to Canada? And what about the rest of the countries buying from Russia and not Canada? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Ukraine, you know, really cannot buy from Russia. That avenue is not open to them. And therefore, they're doing through necessity what I rather suspect we ought to be doing by election. And that is changing who we buy from. And it should not be Russia. So the state of war has forced Ukraine to reach this conclusion earlier than the European Union and the United States, which looks to inexpensive Russian ore and says, well, if it's cheap and it's legal, let's buy as much as we can.
Your reporting last week is that the single factor that has left so many nuclear power plants, private hands or public hands, buying from Russia is cost. Is that correct, Henry? Or is there...
Well, we have contracts, but the contracts always have termination clauses if you want to exercise them. They may be expensive, but they do not want to terminate. And the reason they don't want to terminate is, well, it's inexpensive compared to other options. I don't honestly think the pencil has been sharpened as to how much more expensive alternatives are. And I have to say, whatever that number is, the least expensive part of operating and building a nuclear power plant is the fuel. After all, that's the attraction to go to all the trouble to use fission to boil water in the first place. And that is, you don't have to buy coal. You don't have to buy natural gas. The fuel costs are relatively low. So whatever the number is, the overall cost for the production of electricity in a nuclear power plant is small as far as the impact of whatever the fuel costs. So, but they're tightening their belts, and they want it to be cheap. And you know, there's real money involved. So they go, I mean, they're a corporation. They have to operate at a profit, and if it's legal, by golly, they're going to operate with the least expensive fuel sources they can find.
To your knowledge, do U.S. nuclear power plants buy uranium from Russia because it's cheap?
Yes. I mean, I think that's it in a nutshell. I mean, they wouldn't quite put it that way. They'd say, well, we have contracts that are very hard to break, which is code for, you know, if they wanted to, and if someone had the money or gave them the money, they could break the contract.
To your knowledge, the Russian Rosatom is the name of the company, which not only built, I think, has possession of the nuclear arsenal, but also is the source for uranium and runs the atomic energy plants in Russia. Rosatom is a moneymaker for Russia, and yet the U.S. continues to buy uranium, which is a profit, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the optics of this one that are most jarring is that we're sending roughly between the EU and the U.S. something on the order of, that's reported, I don't know, about $1 billion to an operation that is responsible for the development and production of nuclear weapons for the Russian arsenal. And yet it's that arsenal that's more than anything else in fear of it that's determining the course of this war. You know, we're unwilling to sell certain things to Ukraine for fear that, well, Putin might use his nuclear weapons. And meanwhile, we're sending money or allowing money to be sent. It's pretty significant for the budget of that arsenal to the operation that develops and produces those weapons. It's quite something out of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Let's go to Europe. We haven't settled the story in the U.S., so it gets even more complicated in the EU. I read from your reporting that France authorizes Framatome, which is their nuclear energy unit, to help Russia complete a reactor for Hungary. But Germany has yet to green light Siemens Framatome's partner from completing the deal. In addition to this provocative headline, the EU has been discussing about sanctioning leadership at Rosatom, not just the company itself, but leadership. It's been reluctant to do that in the first year, mentioning that Hungary, Bulgaria, and I believe France buy uranium from Russia, despite the fact there are other sources. So not only is the U.S. compromised by the facts, but also our allies in Europe are compromised by the facts. Have I got all that lined up correctly, Henry?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, I think that's correct. And what's changed is the Germans are getting more annoying on the front of demanding sanctions, not only against the leadership at Rosatom, because they're now out of the nuclear business. And so they don't need to worry about uranium imports anymore. And, you know, Germany's a pretty important player in EU. And so I think the environmental movements and the people who want to have sanctions, who may not even be environmentalists, are hoping that in the 11th round of sanctioning that EU has, they're in the midst of this 11th round, that they'll be able to develop some sanctions package that would give a grace period for Hungary and Bulgaria, these places that have reactors, to ease out of relying on Russian imports, not only of fuel, but of reactor technology and equipment, but that the rest of the EU needs to move away from purchasing this stuff more quickly.
At the same time, you send me a paper that is a National Academies Press, Washington, laying the foundation for new and advanced nuclear reactors in the United States. We're building or proposing to build more reactors. I've been reading about a Westinghouse design that is smaller and said to be replacing a coal-burning electricity-generating plant. But in any event, we're planning or thinking about planning building reactors in this country. I presume that means that other countries are also thinking about or building small reactors, advanced reactors, what do they call it, new and advanced nuclear reactors in their own countries. Does all of this building take into account what we've learned in Ukraine, that building a nuclear power plant in a potential combat zone is a weapon?
The short answer is I don't think so. I have not seen any evidence other than blandishments like, well, they're small, they won't spread much radiation if they get hit, or we'll build them underground, which is really expensive. or we don't see a problem. I think it needs that whole proposition needs a little more tough love. I think what they're struggling to do is they have lots of paper designs that are in various states of development. Nothing's really been built and probably won't, according to the national academies, for, you know, I would say the most optimistic gloss is 5 years, but more likely a decade or more. And what they need is a very important ingredient for nuclear power that people forget: money. And they don't have private banks investing in these things. They have philanthropists like Bill Gates, you know, giving money for various projects, but also asking the government to match dollar for dollar or more. So I think while lots of countries are talking about this, it's maybe because there's no way to deal with the demands of carbon-free electrical generation that are super easy. And being able to say that you're thinking or planning on doing something in 5 to 10 years probably covers the issue. And with any bad luck at all, you'll be out of office or stop working for the government well before then anyway. It's a pretty cynical cut I just gave, but there's something to it.
We're going to go to Ukraine now, having talked about the U.S. and the EU and their present contradictory opinion of what is to be done about Ukraine and about uranium and about the nuclear power plants either underway or building. Continue to buy for Rosatom indefinitely, despite what we see as a map of Europe torn in half. But the immediate problem is in Ukraine, and we're headed to a news report from Zaporizhia province. Henry Sikorsky is the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center Executive Director. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.